Hi, this is Felicia. You're listening to The Vegan Inquisition, a podcast where I, a vegan, share stories and talk about what life has really been like since I decided to do this almost 2 years ago. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. So this week, before I get into things, I kind of want to go back to my roots and give you guys a little bit of an update on my week, let you know what I've been up to, just what I've been doing, how I've been bopping around for the past few days. So most of you guys know that about a month ago, I kind of just like gave in to the universe and decided to shave my head. And I've told a lot of stories on the podcast before about struggling to eat out with like dietary restrictions and stuff. And because I'm allergic to a lot of things. I'm allergic to soy, to gluten, to avocados. And I really don't talk about the last two like that much, but yes. It's true. No avocado toast for me, whatever, but it's fine. I usually never, a few weeks ago though, I did pick up some chocolate brownies that were on sale at the superstore. They were literally, I'm not kidding, they were literally like, what was it, like 40 or 50 cents? And I'm sorry, allergic or not, that just, it didn't make sense to walk away from a deal like that. So I bought the brownies. And I usually never eat chocolate in like large quantities, but like after those brownies, I literally felt like I was gonna die and my face was a mess, but whatevers. Anyways, since shaving my head, I've been a lot more lax about like what foods I eat, particularly like what foods I avoid. And I was really serious about gluten, about my gluten intolerance before, not even because I was like super concerned about just like, well, I don't want to say not concerned about like my well-being, because like obviously like I am concerned about that, but I was more concerned with like gluten affecting my hair growth than I was about gluten affecting just like my life in general. Do you know what I mean? So I was a lot more serious about avoiding it. Since shaving my head, it's given me the liberty to just really not care as much and to enjoy food a lot more, which is probably not the best thing considering I shouldn't be eating it. Okay, that's what I'll say. But yeah, the past few days I have been just like getting these like annoying headaches, so I know that I need to just kind of like stop. I don't eat gluten like at home. I won't buy it and like bring it into the house really, but if I'm out and like, oh look, let me grab a burger, like I'll just grab the burger with the bun. Like now I'm being like more lax with it in like that way, but overall it's not like a huge part of my diet. But the past week I've been eating out a lot because I just haven't gone grocery shopping, and so this is just turning into like an awful thing for me and I need to stop. But you know, on the bright side, my eyebrows seem to be growing back in, so I'm very grateful for that. And if you watch the vlogs, you also know that I've just been walking around with a bald face as well, which has not been fun. But anyways, moving on to other topics. I really wasn't sure what I wanted to talk about this week, and I was actually planning out one of the videos that I want to post on my YouTube channel. If you don't know, I have a YouTube. It's By Felicia. That's B-Y-F-E-L-I-C-I-A. And what I wanted to do was, I really want to film like a video just talking about my experience being vegan over the past few years. And I filmed a video like this after my first year being vegan, and so now this is going to be coming up, but this is my second year being vegan, and I'll say why I don't know if I technically passed it in like a while. It'll make a little bit more sense, but I wanted to film a video just kind of like giving an update on what life has really been like since going vegan, the things that I've learned, kind of like how the adjustment was for me and everything, because I don't know, I think it's important to talk about those things. Before I went vegan, I feel like I didn't really have like a completely realistic, like full picture idea of what my life was going to look like. And of course, I know that it's like you're vegan for the animals, or I don't know, some people are like plant-based or whatever for like the environment. So it is like kind of like a bigger picture, like it's something that's bigger than you. You shouldn't be thinking about yourself or whatever. But at the end of the day, I just think it is so stupid to pretend as though humans aren't human. And just because you can think rationally doesn't mean that you no longer have emotions or instincts or like those like primal feelings or like things that drive you, you know what I mean? So just because I decide to go vegan for someone other than myself doesn't mean that I then, you know, disregard all my own emotions. I don't care about my own happiness and I don't care about how comfortable I'm able to be in my own daily life. I obviously still care about those things. And I sometimes wish, you know, that it had been addressed before, not even to like deter me from going vegan, because even if I knew those things, I still would be vegan, right? But I just wish that I had a better idea, a more full picture idea of what things were going to be, right? Whatever. So I decided to film a 2-year update to kind of like talk about like my journey and like all of that stuff. And as I was thinking about when I decided to go vegan, I was thinking about what vegans call the quote unquote connection. And it's kind of like a reference to making the connection in your mind that your food is like a real conscious being that you just killed or were complicit in its death for like no reason, and just kind of like realizing that like, oh, this is more than just, you know, a slab of meat. This is like a real live thing with complex feelings and emotion and a desire to live and an ability to love, and like just making the connection between like, oh, this is like this is wrong. And so I kind of wanted to talk about what that moment was for me, because I don't really plan on getting like too in-depth on that video. So I feel like this would be like a good place to talk about that. So I wanted to talk about what that moment was for me. Like I was saying, this podcast is going to be kind of like exposing me a little bit as a trash human, but I mean, I'm fine with that. I never really pretend to be unflawed. Is unflawed even word? But I never pretend to like not be a flawed person. Like, I am a very flawed person, and I think that like if you pretend as though you're not, you're honestly just like, you're a liar. I'm sorry. But anyways, we all make mistakes, and the moment that I made the connection was not a mistake, that's like the wrong word, but it was like a lapse in judgment that led me to, I don't know, let me just tell the story instead of trying to like explain to you what I mean. You'll hear the story and know what I mean. But anyways, like I was saying, I went vegan about 2 years ago. So how old am I now? I'm like 23. So I went vegan when I was 21. But it's funny because when I think back to it, I made the connection much, much earlier, but I just didn't really, I don't know. This moment actually happened to me when I was maybe 13 or 14 years old. And at that age, I had a pet rabbit named Riley, who was just like the light of my life. I loved him so much. He passed away a few years ago, or I'm not sure when he passed. Maybe it was, I'm not sure. Not too long ago, maybe not more than like 2 or 3 years ago. But when I bought him, there was like a huge, I don't know if any, probably a bunch of people remember this, but like moccasins became like very, very popular. And I am fully aware that there are tons of indigenous people out there who just wearing moccasins is like an everyday thing for them. It's not like a fad or like a fashion craze or whatever, but that's what moccasins were for me at that point in time. They were very, very popular in the area that I lived in. Like, everyone was buying moccasins. There was this like place called Soft Mock that popped up, and everyone was just like buying moccasins. And I decided that I wanted a pair. So I went into this moccasin store and used my, at the time I had like a paper route. So I literally would just like go around like dropping papers on like people's doorsteps. At the time I had my paper route. So I went to SoftMock with my paper route money, and I decided like, you know what, I'm buying myself a pair of these moccasins. And I bought a pair that were like lined with rabbit fur, like all around like the rim of the shoe, like around the ankle. And I thought that they were like so cute. I loved them. And so I bought these moccasins, took them home, and I remember just feeling so like, just feeling so ashamed. And it's crazy how the human mind works, because you can kind of, like, block yourself from acknowledging certain things, and that's really what I tried very hard to do. I used to be a crazy rabbit lady. Think crazy cat lady, except it was a rabbit instead of a cat. And, like, Riley, honestly, he lived a very lavish life. I really hated the idea of him being in a cage. It was just very upsetting to me. I felt like it was wrong. So I would keep him in the cage only when I was, like, out of the house. So if I was at school or if I was on my paper route or whatever, I would put him in the cage for that time, but as soon as I got home, I would take him out, and I would just do that just because, like, I didn't want him to, like, get into anything and, like, hurt himself or, like, chew something that he wasn't supposed to. So, but as soon as I got home, like, I would always take him out, and, like, my room at that time was, like, pretty sizable, so I would just let him roam around my entire room, and it was carpet, so it was, like, easy for him to run around, which I thought was good, but whatever. I literally had a leash for him, and I would take him out for, like, walks in the backyard and stuff, or, like, just, like, in, like, little patches of, like, I don't know, like, in, like, the park down the street or something. Like, I would cut him up, like, fresh vegetables and fruit and stuff to eat. Like, he literally was my child. Like, I babied him. I loved him so much, and I just felt so ashamed after I bought these moccasins, because I didn't want him to, like, pick up on the fact that I was literally wearing another rabbit on my feet. And it was also just, like, this moment of me looking at Riley and then looking at these dead moccasins, and it just made me feel kind of, like, guilty, because I knew that, like my family didn't really have, like, a lot of respect for Riley and my relationship with him, and they would make jokes all the time about, like, making rabbit soup and, like, literally just, they would just make jokes about killing him and eating him, and I just didn't understand it. Like, I did not think that it was funny at all. It really upset me. Like, I would get, like, I literally would just get, like, legitimately upset and offended, and I didn't understand. Like, this is not funny. Like, it's not a joke. Like, this is my child. I don't see why you think that it's appropriate to make these jokes about literally eating him. Like, it's, he's not just a rabbit. He's Riley. You know what I mean? And that's how I thought about it, like, in my head. Like, he's not just a rabbit. Like, he is so much more. And it frustrated me that they only saw him as, like, a rabbit. And it made me realize, even at that young age, like, I was, like I was saying, like, 13 years old, just thinking, like, I'm such a hypocrite. I don't think I had the words, maybe I did have the words for that time, but, like, thinking, like, I'm such a hypocrite to get so angry and get so defensive when my family makes these jokes, but here I am literally wearing a dead rabbit on my feet, and, like, who the hell do I think that I am? And I don't know, like I was saying, like, I feel like the human mind has this way of allowing you to live in this state of, like, cognitive dissonance where your actions just really don't align with your values and your thoughts. So I'm able to, like, sit down, look at my rabbit and say, I acknowledge that you are, like, a whole being with feelings and emotions and thoughts. Like, rabbits are smart. Like, rabbits are actually smart. If you get to know a rabbit, it's like, I even wasn't even expecting, like, when I got him, I didn't even realize what I was signing up for. I really thought I was just signing up for, like, this, like, fluffy, fun pet. But, like, they have whole personalities, and they're so smart, and they have the ability to learn and to feel and to trust and to love. And it's so crazy to, like, for me to have that close relationship with this rabbit and to see that. It was frustrating for me that no one else around me could see it or was willing to acknowledge it. They just kind of all passed me off as being just, like, crazy and, like, Felicia, like, whatever, like, he's just a rabbit, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But to me, it's like, I'm around this rabbit, like, all the time, so I'm picking up on, like, his habits, I'm picking up on what is normal for him, what's not normal for him, I'm picking up on the fact that he seems to like me more than he likes other people and is more comfortable around me than he is with other people. I'm picking up on the fact that he's just so complex, and it was maddening to me that no one else could see that. At the same time, it didn't stop me from eating meat. It didn't stop me from buying those rabbit moccasins. It didn't stop me from doing any of those things, just because I didn't want to allow myself to, like, realize that I was, like, to fully appreciate the fact that I was just being, like, honestly, just being a trash human. So I just didn't allow myself to feel that way. And I just continued to kind of, like, live the way that I did, eventually the moccasins got worn out, whatever, and I had to get rid of them. And eventually also, like I was saying, years later, Riley passed, and that was really sad. But fast forward to me being 21, I'm in university, a young woman, balding, and I had just seen What the Health, and this is after, like, me going to see, like, doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor, trying to figure out just generally, like, even beyond the balding, just generally, like, what the hell was going on with my health. What the health, if you will, was literally, like, could have been, like, the tagline for my life. Like, I just didn't really understand, like, what was going on with my body, like, why things were happening and what I could do to fix it. And I saw What the Health, and my sister was actually the one that sent me the documentary to watch. I had seen it in, like, my recommended on Netflix, and I had put it into my list to watch it, but I just never got around to doing it because I knew, like, a part of me knew. And it's kind of funny because I feel like there's, okay, well, I don't want to pretend like everyone is like me, but I feel like for a lot of people, like, a part of you knows that what you're doing is not right. And, like, a part of you knows that, like, you could do better. But, like I was saying, there's just that part of your stupid human mind that is just like, yes, a part of me knows that what I'm doing is evil, but I would rather just continue to live life in a much more comfortable way. Yes, a part of me knows that what I'm doing is wrong, but it's easier for me to just ignore it than it is for me to, like, change my entire life, or even to just admit to myself that what I've been doing is wrong. Do you know what I mean? Because in order to, like, step out of that and to live a different life, you have to kind of acknowledge that what you were doing was wrong for, like, all of those years. And I feel like a lot of people don't want to do that, myself included. But after watching What the Health, and What the Health wasn't even about the animals, What the Health was just about, like, really just health and eating in a way that was, like, better for your body. And that, for me, especially at that time and how vulnerable and, like, kind of, like, freaked out I felt at that time, that was enough for me to at least make a change to my diet. And at the time, like, I was just calling myself vegan. I have never really been one to, I just really don't care to make a huge distinction between vegan people and plant-based people. And I understand that there is a difference, mainly between, like, the motivations for, like, living in that way and also just, like, how much your lifestyle affects, like, your life. So obviously, like, plant-based people is more just, like, your diet, whereas veganism is something that's more based in, like, morals and ethics, and it's something that affects your entire lifestyle. And I fully understand that and fully appreciate the difference. However, that is just not a battle that I feel like is worth fighting. I'm not gonna go around and, like, go on, like, a crusade about who is vegan and who is not vegan, what is plant-based versus what's not. Like, I just don't care. Outside of the vegan community, like, I feel like there are, like, no serious ramifications. While I will take up my sword and fight against people, like, if you heard of, like, Rachel Dolezal, who was literally just, like, this white lady who decided that she wanted to go around and pretend to be black, I will absolutely raise hell and talk about things like that. But when it comes to, like, vegan versus plant-based, I really don't see the system, like, I don't really see how, like, that pans out to be, like, a serious systemic issue that we need to address. Like, what are the like, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like it's worth it for me, even as a vegan now. But at that time, I was plant-based, calling myself vegan, because not even, like, I was in the mindset of just, like, oh, I just don't care for the difference. I just guess I didn't fully appreciate the difference or understand what the difference was. I thought that the two terms were kind of, like, interchangeable, which, I don't know, whether you want them to be or you don't want them to be, I don't really care, but technically there are, like, differences between the two of those things. So at the time, I was plant-based, and I completely switched over my lifestyle, like, from, like, literally the minute that the credits started rolling on What the Health, I was plant-based. Like, that was it for me. And I remember I was out with a group of my friends, and we passed a shoe store, and it was literally, like, one of those, like, movie moments where you're just kind of, like, walking, and, like, you and this item just have this, like, connection in the shop window, and you're just like, I need to go in. So I walk into the shoe store with my friends and I saw these boots that I had been wanting for, honestly, years. Like, I had been wanting these boots for years upon years. And it's funny because when you're vegan or whatever, it's like you, or when you're not vegan, sorry, or well, at least for me, I'll speak for myself. When I was not vegan, I didn't really consider or ever think about what was going into what I was eating or what was going into what I was wearing. But I really wanted these boots called Sorels. And they are these amazing boots, and they're these winter boots. And I live in Canada, and the winters here are honestly awful. If you watch my vlogs and you saw the multiple snowstorms that I had to endure last year, then you probably understand, because Sorels are, they're great. They are probably the best winter boots that I've ever had. I still have them to this day. So you probably can tell where the story is going. I bought them, but they are probably like they are the best winter boots that I've ever had. They are waterproof. They are extremely warm. Like, you can wear them in like minus 40 degrees Celsius weather. And for people who are thinking minus 40, yes, that is what life is like winter in Canada. You need boots like that, like things that can like really keep you warm. And they were like very, very warm waterproof boots, like I was saying, so you can like wear them in the snow. And for me, I wanted those boots for so long, and I just didn't really want to buy them because they are kind of like on the pricier side. I feel like after tax they would end up being around like $200, which to me, that's a lot of money for a pair of shoes. But they are also made of leather, which wasn't really an objection to me at the time or for like the years before that I had wanted them, because like I said, like I was not vegan. But we're walking by this shop window with my friends. I see these boots literally in the window with a for sale sign. I walk into the store, I try them on, and I'm just like, I can't leave this store without them. I need to buy these boots. If I don't buy these boots right now, when is going to be my chance? When am I ever going to get them again? And so I bought them. I was so excited to finally have these beautiful shoes that I had been pining after forever. But, you know, it was actually winter when I bought them. So it was even odd that they were on sale, because that usually never happens for like winter stuff to be on sale during the winter. But anyways, that's completely irrelevant during the story. So, but since it was winter, I was able to start wearing them like pretty much right away. And so best believe that next day I was walking up to my classes, to my lectures, pulling up in my Sorels, stunting on all these hoes. Like, I was so happy. Until it just kind of like really started to sink in. And it was kind of like more of like a slow process, because in the moment, like I was saying, I feel like as you're doing something that is like doing something that you know that you shouldn't be doing, a part of you knows, but you do have the ability to kind of just like push out of your mind and not really think about it. And that's what I did. I knew, definitely a big part of me knew that, like, hey, like, these shoes are made of leather, these boots are made of leather, you probably shouldn't be buying these, probably not the right thing to do. You could definitely try to scope out and find other pairs of shoes, but, like, those are just genuinely the shoes that I wanted. Those are what I wanted, that's what I wanted to buy, and so that's what I did. And I just kind of pushed out of my mind and just didn't really allow myself to think about it. But as the weeks went on, I literally just started to grow, like, it just started to become harder and harder for me not to think about it. Like, I would wear the boots, be walking around in them, and I would just feel guilty. Like, I just would feel ashamed. Like, I felt wrong about what I had done. Like, it just became, like, just this overwhelming sense of just guilt. Every single time that I wore them, like, I just felt wrong. And it got to the point where I decided that, like, the only way for me to make up for it was to just not do it again. And so at that point, that was when I decided, like, or I guess when I fully made the connection, and I decided that, like, listen, like, I don't want to live this way. Like, I just can't do this. Like, this is wrong. And so from that point on, I decided that I was going to be vegan. And that was a point for me where I, like I said, I just fully came to like appreciate that this is like a full, I don't want to say like You know when, like, I don't know if you've heard, like, someone, like, make the joke, like, I don't know, when they're talking about, like, their pet and they just, like, refer to them as, like, a person. Like, they're not just, like, a dog. They're a person. And it seems kind of, like, crazy to say, but it's, like, you understand what they're saying. It's, like, this is not just, like, an animal. It's a person. Like, you give, like, personhood to that animal and be, like, you are capable of love and feeling and emotion and all of those things. Like, that's kind of what it means. And so looking at my boots, I was just like, you're not just supposed to be boots. You're like a person. And I took that from you in a way. Do you know what I mean? So I still have the boots to this day and I still wear them. And I've made a video about it before about the leather products that I own and why I chose to continue to wear them even after going vegan. And I think I only own two leather boots. I own my Doc Martens and I own my Sorels. I think that's it. And I do still continue to wear them just because I feel like there is no legitimate reason to throw them out since I already have them and have purchased them. And just like on like a very practical level, the shoes, the Docs, the Sorels are probably shoes that are going to last me for a very long time. I feel like it just makes more sense to wear them out until they're worn out. I need to replace them as opposed to throwing them away and replacing them right now for no reason. But anyways, it kind of like talking about that and thinking about that whole journey also has made me, or not even made me realize, but recently I have, on the podcast, I've talked about how I am very desensitized to particular forms of, like, violence against animals or animal cruelty, particularly, like, food. If I see, like, a non-vegan food item, I don't feel, like, triggered by it or feel, or for the most part, I don't really feel, like, I don't feel anything when I look at it. I can look at you eating a tub of ice cream and just be like, oh, they're eating ice cream. I can look at someone eating a burger and not much passes through my head apart from like, oh, that person is just eating. Because it's just a form of violence, I guess, that I've grown up to seeing. And just it's just something that's very normalized in my life. And so it's not something that I think a lot about. But more recently, maybe because I've been talking so openly about how I don't really feel affected by it, more recently it has kind of been like playing out in my life more. And there have been like moments of just like very pointed or very like strong feelings of like not distress but feelings of like just I don't even really know how to explain it, but just very strong moments of really feeling the connection and really appreciating it. So like 90% of my life, or like 99.9% of my life, I would say, is living my life in just like this kind of like bubble where I'm just focused on making sure that what I'm doing is right, that the way that I'm living is okay, that the way that I'm living is ethical, and I'm not really concerned or focused on what other people are doing. Yes, I am trying to influence other people to go vegan, but I'm not really looking at their actions under the same microscope that I look at my own actions. So for me, like, I'll talk about, like, when I accidentally eat, like, a non-vegan product and, like, the emotional stress that that causes because I understand what it means and I understand what I've done. I don't have those same feelings attached to seeing someone else eat the same non-vegan product. So if I were to find out that I had eaten a hamburger, for example, I would go absolutely insane. I would go ballistic. I don't want to partake in that. Like, that is just not something that I want to do. The thought of me eating a burger makes my skin crawl. Like, I don't want to do it. But seeing someone else eat a burger doesn't really have that same effect on me, which is kind of odd, but I don't know. That's just how my mind is operating. But recently, I've been having those moments of, like, those same feelings of, like, just disgust and confusion and disturbance have been, like, transferred onto other people. And, like, I can see other people's actions and the way that other people are eating, and I can appreciate that for, like, truly what it is. And what I mean by that is, like, I can see someone eating a hamburger and in certain moments, it's a hamburger. In other moments, it's just like you're literally eating a cow. And that is terrifying. There are two particular moments where it's happened for me, like, recently. And to be completely honest, like, I don't want to live this way. I think it's great to acknowledge what is going on around you and to, like, see and understand what is happening and to try to influence other people to live in a certain way. But to live in a state of, like, even in those, like, small moments, I don't want my entire life to feel that way where I just am feeling, like, disturbed constantly. Do you know what I mean? It's just not a way to live. And so, I don't know. There was this moment where I was in the kitchen the other day and the ice cream truck was playing, or the ice cream truck was coming down the street, and I could hear the music, and I was just sitting there like, la 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 la, love the ice cream truck. Like, it's just like such a fun feeling from like your childhood almost, just like hearing the ice cream truck come down the street and just being so excited to run out and grab your ice cream and like eat with your friends or whatever. And I was just sitting there and just thinking about like really what the ice cream truck symbolizes. And it's almost like it's creepy. It's like literally a truck driving down the street, playing music, announcing suffering. Like, if you think about it from like a very vegan perspective, do you know what I mean? And that's kind of like what I was saying, is like, I just don't want to look at the world that way, because I think that like, it is such a terrifying and sad way to look at the world. And like, even I was at like the flea market with like my family the other day, and they were giving out these like free samples of jerky, and I see meat all the time and it literally doesn't faze me. But it was something about just the presentation of the meat in that specific stall at the flea market, and to just see like the huge slabs of meat on the counter, and they had the samples, and like my brother and sister both went to like grab samples, and I literally, like, this is probably the strongest I've ever felt. I literally felt just, like, nauseous. Like, I literally wanted to throw up just, like, looking at it. Like, it literally just, because in the moments where your mind stops looking at it as meat and starts looking at it as a cow, it is just hard to, it's hard to stomach the thought of that. Like, it's hard. I don't know. And it's just not a feeling that I enjoy having. And again, I know, like, please, this isn't about you, da da da, I understand. But I'm also just not going to allow myself to live in a constant state of, like, duress. Seeing and, like, I don't know. It's just not a state that I want to live in. It literally feels like you're living in a horror movie. And, like, the best way that I can kind of, like, describe, because I feel like it's hard to describe exactly what it is that I'm feeling, and I tried to, like, think about, like, what is, like, the best, like, metaphor, the best comparison that I can make, and this is probably, like, the best, this is, like, how I feel, okay? So I want you to think about it like this. This is literally how the connection feels for me. So this is a completely non-vegan example, by the way. So for me, every single day I wake up and life is normal. I get up, I get out of bed, I brush my teeth, I go about my business, I take a shower, I eat my food, I go to the gym, I'm just living my life. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, like, everything is just, like, very casual, just very normal. I'm just living. But every now and then, you have those moments where it just kind of hits you what life is, and how crazy it is that you're even here, how crazy it is that you're even breathing. And you think about how there are so many other people on the planet, but how none of us know why we're here, and how none of us know how we got here, and how we're just floating in space, and we have no idea what's around us. We have no idea who we're sharing the universe with. We have no idea who's watching us. We have no idea what life is beyond our small existence. We have no idea what it means to die. And, like, it just becomes so overwhelming. It's those moments of just, like, living versus having an existential crisis. Like, that's literally what it is. And for me, that is what the connection is and what those small moments are. It's the difference between, like, living and then having those moments of, like, just strong, that connection between, like, realizing just, like, oh, this is not, this isn't normal. this isn't okay. I don't really like what's going on here. And like, that's like the best way that I can describe it. It's just like, yeah, the difference between just living my daily life and then having those small pointed moments of just like existential crisis is kind of the same. It's just like living my daily life. And like, yeah, I understand that not everyone is vegan and like da 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 da, but there are those moments between just like, just acknowledging that, oh yeah, not everyone's vegan, to like really taking in what that means and how messed up it is and how sad it is and how horrifying it is, really. And I just don't want to live, like, can you imagine living your entire life just constantly in a state of existential dread? I don't want to live that way. Just like, I don't want to live my entire life just constantly thinking about and appreciating truly what it means for people to not be vegan. I don't know. That's just what has been on my mind recently, I guess. So I just wanted to, I feel like that was kind of like dark, but I don't know, like I was saying, like, that's literally just like, it's just like what life is. So that's kind of been what the connection has been for me. So I wanted to talk about that and share that story, I guess. And now we're going to move on to answering, I guess more light questions. So anyways, moving on. So Phoebe has a question for us today, and I still have some of the questions from our kind unnamed sender, so I'm going to answer just a few questions. So Phoebe asks, you're in some sort of Big Brother show situation for the summer, and you only get to eat an unlimited supply of one fruit, grain, and vegetable. Which did you prefer? And she says that her choices are bananas, oats, and beans, or popcorn kernels. Which, good choices. Okay, so I thought long and hard about this, and I decided that I've come to some more conclusions, kind of. So, well, honestly, everything is the same except for, like, one answer. I feel like Phoebe really did. She thought long and hard about this, made the right decision. I also, for my fruit, would choose bananas, because I feel like bananas are, like, so versatile, and they're also very filling. Like, I wouldn't, like, honestly, my first instinct would be to choose grapes or pineapple, because I think that those are some of, like, the best fruits that the world has to offer, truly. But bananas are so much more, like, filling, and they're more versatile, do you know what I mean? Like, I can either have a banana just normally, or I can make an ice cream. And, you know, I would love that. always in the mood for some ice cream every now and then. For my grain, I would choose quinoa for the same reason, just because it's, like, so versatile. Because quinoa, you can have it as just, like, as, like, a rice substitute almost. But at the same time, like, you can also have it as, like, what's it called? Kind of like more of like a oatmeal type of thing. Do you know what I mean? So I'll make like quinoa porridge every now and then, which actually it bangs. Like it tastes really good. I really enjoy it. The texture is kind of something to get used to, but if I could only have one grain, I would choose something that would allow me to have like, that I could have for like breakfast and dinner, you know? So quinoa, I can have it as like a rice substitute, but I can also have it as kind of like a porridge or oatmeal type of thing. And then for my vegetable, I also chose beans, which I had never really thought of beans as a vegetable. And I literally had to Google, are beans a vegetable? And yeah, I guess they are. They are the, what's it called? They are the immature form of legumes, are the seeds of the plant and are eaten in their immature form as green peas and beans, and the mature form is dried peas, beans, lentils, and chickpeas. I don't know. That's what Google is telling me. But I would also choose beans. And then also you could like kind of like mix it up, because then you could have like, you could make like maybe like a veggie burger or something out of like the beans and quinoa if you had like a food processor. I don't know if they would allow you to do that, but anyways, those are my answers. Final answers, I would have banana, quinoa, and beans. Next question, what are your and these are from unnamed, so what are your classic go-to vegan comeback / defenses? So I guess like when people are trying to come for your life for no reason and attack your lifestyle, what are the things that I say? I think for a long time I didn't really have a go-to. Like it would kind of just be like conversation to conversation for me, and my go-to really would be to just kind of like get defensive and try to like argue with them. But more recently, my go-to, and this honestly I love this because it's a lot less stress on me, but it still gets my point across, that the person who is talking to me just doesn't know what the hell they're talking about, my go-to is to simply to ask questions to have that person realize their own idiocy without me having to really put in any legwork to make them realize it. So if I am talking about being vegan and you want to jump in and tell me that, you know, it's impossible to be vegan because the cost is so high, I can just simply ask you, oh, when was your last vegan grocery trip? And if you don't have an answer, then we both know that you're not really concerned about the cost of being vegan. You're more concerned about the convenience, which is fine. I think it is completely fine to admit that you are concerned about the convenience of, you know, going vegan, or you don't want to give up living a certain lifestyle, that you don't want to give up eating meat. Fine. You know what? But just be honest about that. I think it's really weird when people come to you and they talk about things like the cost or health or all of these things, when based on how that person lives in their life now, I know that that is not a concern for you. You cannot come to me and talk about how you're concerned about your health on a vegan diet when you are eating out constantly, when you never have vegetables on your plate ever. You can't come to me and talk about how you're concerned about the cost of living vegan when, again, you are constantly eating food out, which is very expensive to do. Like, I find that the concerns that people try to pull out are often just not based in anything. They're just things that they heard repeated online, and they think it's going to be a convenient excuse for them to get out of it. You know what I mean? So I just kind of like to ask questions to poke holes in their argument. And to just kind of like expose their argument for what it is in genuine. It's not a genuine argument most of the time. Like I said, it's kind of just something that they heard or read online and that they're just kind of like using it. And I'm not saying that to be like, oh, like, you're so uninformed and like da 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 da, because I used to do that too. If you had come to me years ago and tried to convince me to go vegan, I probably would have just pulled something out of my ass too and said something so that you couldn't continue to have that conversation with me, because I wasn't interested in changing my lifestyle. And so I'm not like really obviously like the tone that I'm using right now is very judgy, but I'm not like really like judging them, because it's something that I did too, and so it's something that I can understand. At the same time, just because it's something that I can understand doesn't mean that it's something that I'm going to like excuse really, or just kind of like let slide, but whatever. My go-to is to just kind of like ask questions. And like I was saying, I was telling a story a few weeks ago about how I was like hanging out with this group of girls and, or this group of women, and this girl was just like, oh, you know, vegan burgers aren't even really that healthy. And I was just like, oh, really? What's unhealthy about them? And she didn't have an answer. So my go-to defense is to just ask questions, because that, honestly, that is like the strongest form of ammunition. I love it. But anyways, next question, what are my thoughts on fruitarianism? To be completely honest, I feel like it's just kind of weird and unnecessary. I don't really know why you would go your entire life just eating fruit for no reason. It's like, I don't get it. I feel like there are better ways to live. I don't think that you need to be fruitarian to be vegan. I also wouldn't be raw vegan either. I wouldn't be fruitarian. I wouldn't be raw vegan. I wouldn't be high carb, low fat. I am just vegan. Like, that's it. As long as I'm not hurting any animals, and as long as I'm getting all the nutrients that I need to get, I'm fine. Also, a concern for me eating fruitarian would be, how the hell are you even getting all of your nutrients? And is that not extremely expensive? If someone were to come to me and said, I can't be fruitarian because it's expensive, I can understand that, because, I don't know, unless you are literally only eating bananas, your grocery bill is going to be ridiculous. To eat the amount of calories that you need to sustain yourself, and then also to just eat enough to be full, because a lot of fruit is just like, it's just water. Like, it's water. Like, I'm not gonna go my entire day just eating grapes and pineapple and watermelon. Like, what am I getting out of that? Nothing. So, sorry, no offense to any fruitarians out there, I just really don't understand, but my thoughts on fruitarianism, in short, is that it's just weird and unnecessary, and it's just not something that I personally am interested in doing. But yeah, that's all I have to say for now, folks. Guess I will wrap things up. Thanks for listening if you made it this far. I don't know. I kind of want to talk a little bit more about, like, stuff like this. I feel like I talk a lot about just, like, general stories, but I don't really talk a lot about, like, what my mind is like as a vegan and how I think about certain things. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about that during, like, certain episodes, because not that I think that it's particularly important that, like, my specific thoughts are important, but I don't know. Where else am I going to talk about it? Right? But anyways, if you would like to send in questions to have your questions read aloud on the show, you can email them into theveganinquisitionpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that is theveganinquisitionpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, I can't wait to talk to you guys next week. But until then, make the connection. Bye.